As we hear these words of Scripture, this experience of the Apostle Peter, it seems that there is a set of instructions that are followed by Peter that would certainly be applicable to us in our life journey with the decisions that we need to make as family members, as friends of the faith, as employers, employees professionally, publicly, as school students, as young people that we spoke of earlier that are about to graduate from high school and begin a new journey in their life. One of the biggest decisions they have to make is, where am I going to attend college? What am I going to study? Am I going to move far away from home? Am I going to stay close to mom and daddy and the brothers and sisters? Those decisions that we make daily that affect our lives. And really, if we're honest and live outside of ourselves, they affect the world around us, don't they? And I don't know about you, but oftentimes I just want to know. I have found myself praying, God, just tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll try to do it. Well, if we listen to Scripture, there is a hint, I think a beautiful message for us in this reading today that will provide us guidance for the decisions we have to make and the call of God upon our life. I found for what I think us today are five acronyms in this passage. Five acronyms when we're seeking God's direction for our life. When we want to know what God would have us to do with a decision or a plan for ourselves. Five acronyms that I will call today proof of God's plan for our life. Let's look today and let's examine this message, this passage of Scripture, of how this proof may pour forth of instruction as we see it, what Peter did with his life, of the message he received from God and how he presented that message to the world around him. The first P that begins with the word of proof, or the first letter, is the P. And certainly there's no more important place for us to begin when seeking God's will for our life than prayer. It begins by listening. In putting ourselves in God's presence. You know, just this week I was thinking and I was talking with someone about the gift, the spiritual gift of fasting, of prayer through fasting. And for me, what I've experienced most of all, church family, is fasting, that spiritual discipline, is not so much something we do, an experience we go to get something from God. In other words, it's not so much a prayer of supplication. I've not found fasting to be so effective when I want something from God. But more than that, more than asking God to intercede or supply something in my life, what I found is the spiritual discipline of fasting is a time to grow more intimate with God. It's a relational experience. Think about that in a relational aspect with your loved one, with your parent, with your spouse, with your grandchildren or your own children. To show that you love them, what do? Oftentimes, you spend time with them. You go to their ball games. You watch them perform in public. You support their plans for life. You spend intimate time with them because that expresses what? Your love. Your affection. You see, when we fast, we do the same thing. We're saying to God, God, I want to intentionally spend this time with you when I would normally be eating or watching movies or doing something else. I'm going to give that up so I can give more intentional relationship time with you. Prayer. It's the beginning in our Scripture of this spiritual exercise of Peter where he's not even seeking a word from God, but it tells us that as Peter was in prayer, God came and revealed himself to him. When we search direction, may we surrender in prayer. May we rest in the Lord. We're grateful to have Quade with us today and Eli. Those are friends of Noah's. When we got home late last night from Little Luke's baseball game, they were all piled up. Two were on the couch. One was in the recliner. There wasn't anywhere for Luke to sit, so he got in a dog bed. And he fell asleep. And Dash wasn't happy about it. I asked those boys how they slept last night, and they said, we slept fine. You know, you can make it for a night or two in the recliner. Manya has experimented. She's put me in the recliner for a night or two, and I made it fine. But if you want real rest, right, what do? You get in the bed. Amen. You get in the bed. You go to the place that was made for rest and renewal. Friends, that's applicable to our life, to our spiritual journey. If we want to truly rest in God, then we go to God in prayer. We trust in Him. We go to the place where we know we will meet God. We surrender our wills to His will in prayer. And we do it often. You see, that was the thing about Peter. Peter was a disciple who Jesus said, you'll be my rock, because Peter, in spite of his brokenness and his mistakes, he was faithful to follow in the ways of Jesus. My friend that used to call on us in business, his name was Morris Morrison. You remember Morris, Kenny? Boy, that's a name, isn't it? Morris Morrison, some of you that are in business may have had Morris to call on you for a time. And he worked for a company at one time named Mills Morris. Morris Morrison with Mills Morris. Morris has a very distinctive voice. He sells office products. And every week he would come by our office there at Hill Brothers. Maybe came by some of your schools or place of manufacturing. And he'd sell everything from pencils to color copiers. Whatever it was. One day he came to our office and he was speaking to Lana, who worked there. And he said, well, Lana, I'll see you next week. She said, no, Morris, I'll be out of town next week. He said, oh, yeah, I'm going to be out of town, too. So they kind of laughed about that and talked about their vacation. So sure enough, the next week, Lana had a trip out west and was at the Grand Canyon and seeking and listening and enjoying the sedate quiet of that awe-inspiring vision, right, that we've many seen as we looked across that 20 miles at the Grand Canyon. And in the quiet sanctuary of God's creation, as Lana looked out there, she heard a familiar voice. And she said, is this my mind? That sounds like Morris. And she turned around and there was Morris from Mills Morris Business Office Products. They didn't know it, but they'd planned a trip together. She knew his voice. Why did she know his voice? Because it was familiar to her. She had heard it quite often. Friends, we as people of faith like Peter, if we want, listen church, if we want to hear from God, we need to familiarize ourselves with the sound of His voice. And how do we do that? We listen to it often, like my friend Morris. We hear it. We surrender our wills to God's will often, and then we'll be more finely attuned to hear what God may have to say for us in our life. So that's the first P in our scripture today. It's to pray. It's to pray in the spirit of Peter when we yearn to know God's direction for our life. And the second letter of this acronym of our sermon today is R. When we pray to God for direction, church, we will receive from God direction. You see, what I mean there, so often when we have a plan or we have something that we think is a purpose for our life, I don't know about y'all, but I often get ahead of God. I say, Lord, I've got this plan, and I really think it's going to work. Now, will you bless it? Does that sound familiar to you? Can I get an amen there? Anybody ever done that? I get it mixed up of who's in control and who should be driving this train, me or God? See, when we're really in tune with surrendering and we pray, we don't have to go find assignments for God. God will find assignments for us. If we're open, then we will receive what we need from God, what direction we need. Here, let me tell you a story. Noah Hill, who's bunged up now, not getting to play baseball for the last week or two. We hope he's back out there soon. When he was in the seventh grade, he was playing junior high football with old Quaid at Corinth. And Noah, his very first football game, he got out there and he was playing receiver. And Manya and I were ecstatic. We didn't even know if he'd make the team. And here he was. He was a starter. He was on the first team. He was out on the field while the game was going on. We were blown away. We were so excited, Manya and I, and we couldn't wait to visit with him after the game and celebrate his success. And Noah came walking over there to us. And we were beaming, Manya was smiling, I was happy, and we said, good job, Noah. And he threw his hands up and said, I didn't get to touch the ball. Receivers want to touch the ball, don't they? We encouraged him, said, son, you stay faithful. You run your routes properly. You do what you're supposed to in practice. You discipline yourself with the game. And eventually, Noah, you won't have to go to find the ball. You know what'll happen? It'll find you. And it did. And eventually he touched the ball. He received the ball. You see, he didn't have to go to the quarterback, take the ball from him. If we are faithful to God's call upon our life in our intimate relationship with Him, friends, He will make us receivers. We will receive what we need, what we hunger for in our life and in our spiritual discipline. So that is the second acronym. We pray. And then we receive from God. You see, Peter in this text today, he wasn't searching for a new mission or ministry before God. He was simply practicing the spiritual discipline of his faith. And God presented a plan before him. He received the vision from heaven, right? He received the vision to go forth to the Gentiles, to we people of faith who are not of the house of the Jews, but to all creation who hunger to be part of God's grace. That was the message that Peter received. The next acronym letter for us today is not only will God give us individually what we need if we'll receive it, but God will speak to us through others. That's the next letter, the O. You see, God speaks to us directly what He would have us to do, but He also speaks to us through others. The voice of the church, the voice of people we respect, our friends, our family. Have you ever had someone see something that you were going to do and they come back around after it happened? They said, you know, I knew that was going to happen before you did. I had people tell me on my call to ministry. They said, you're going to be a preacher. You're going to share the gospel. They saw it before I saw it. People I respected and appreciated. Friends, if you're wrestling with a decision, a direction for your life, what you should do on a certain theological stance or position with your life and faith, then pray to God. Then you will receive direct reference to that subject from God, but then also you'll hear from others. The voice of the church, the voice of Scripture, the counsel of friends. You see, that's what happened with Peter. This morning in our scripture, Peter was praying. He received this vision from God, but it wasn't only a spiritual discipline from Peter, but he received, it said, a visit from three others from outside of the church. Did you hear that? But then also what Peter did, a beautiful discipline of faith. Peter gathered with him six other disciples of faith, and they journeyed with him to listen, to seek if God was laying this before them. You see, I don't know about y'all, but I've had people come to me before and say, you know, God told me, Jody, you need to do this. I always get kind of leery when people do that for me. How about you? My response is, I want to say, well, I'm glad God told you that. And when God tells me that too, we're going to get together and make it happen, right? But there's truth to that. A person in a call or direction for their life, if they're the only person that God has told them something, then we've got to check that with a little more merit. It's like this, you know, I can like to sing and I can want to sing, but if I can't sing, I don't need to sing. If others don't enjoy it, if others don't affirm it, then there's something lacking. If God has a call upon our life, a direction, a decision that He wants to make, we pray, we receive, and others affirm it as well. He speaks through the church. That's what the church is. The church is a body of believers. The church are the people we respect, who affirm us and encourage us in our faith. That's the third acronym. Others. And next, God provides us an opportunity. An opportunity to serve when He has something that He wants us to serve. Have you ever seen it where the timing just worked out perfectly in your life for an event? Where you didn't even have to ask if God was in it, you just had a knowing? That's the opportunity that God has placed before you. As you prayed, as you sought God's direction for your life, as you received illumination from the Holy Spirit, as others affirmed it, then God placed before you what? The opportunity to serve and use your gifts and share His love. See, that's what happened for Peter in this passage. Peter was simply exercising his faith. He was praying. He received a word from God. Others affirmed that word. And then, friends, what happened? Peter had a choice to make. Am I going to stay right here where I am? Or am I going to get up and move and go forth with the gospel? Am I going to go to Cornelius' house? Am I going to take a chance? I don't know exactly, God, but I think You're telling me to do this. Does that sound familiar, church? I kind of think, God, You're wanting me to do this with my life. You're telling me through others, but at some time, friends, this is very important. Hear this with me. At some point along our spiritual journey, we've got to exercise a little bit of this. It's called faith. We're presented with that opportunity. And we don't always know. Sometimes we've got to have faith enough just to step out just a little bit. Have you ever went swimming to a pool and you're wondering, this water may be too cold. It just may be too cold. And if you're wondering if it's too cold, what do? You just run and jump in and say, whoop, I'm gone. No, you stick that toe in there, don't you? You test it out a little bit. And you find out if it's... And then you just jump in like a wild man or woman, right? Friends, if we're wrestling, or better yet, if God is wrestling with a decision or direction for our life, Yes, we're going to seek for the answers. We're going to pray and we're going to receive affirmation from others. But at some point, friends, we've got to put our toe in the water. We've got to test it. We've got to show up, as Lynn was sharing with me the other day. Not about this, on another subject. If we want the blessing of worship or of the life of faith, we don't get that blessing just sitting in our recliner. We've got to show up in life, in faith. We've got to put our toe in the water. We've got to test it. And when we test it, we may find that God doesn't want us going this direction. But guess what? We chose to swim. We got up out of our chair. We did something with our faith. You see, friends, our faith is meant to be practiced. It's not meant just to simply worship. Yes, worship is the beginning and end of our faith. Our catechism says, what's the chief end of man? It's to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. Yes, we're called to worship. But at some point on our journey, like Peter, we got to get out of the boat and do something with our faith. Trust Him to show us the way and seize the opportunity. And friends, finally, this will happen. This is what it's all for. The final acronym is the F, and that is the fruit of our faith. Yes. How do we know if God is in the decision that we've made? How do we know if God has opened this door, what we think is an opportunity? How do we have that affirmation that I think God wants me to walk through this door? I'm going to put my toe in the water. I'm going to try it, Lord. I'm going to take a step. And if I step and God produces what? If God produces fruit, then surely that's a sign of His holiness. In this event. You see, I'm not saying that this is a cure-all and answer-all. This is the perfect formula for our life of faith in every circumstance. All I'm sharing with you today is this is an experience that Peter, the rock of the church, went through. And God revealed it to him and produced fruit through him. You see what happened? Peter saw the opportunity. He went to the centurion's home and he listened to what they said. He prayed. He had received what God had. He listened to others. He seized the opportunity. He went and he preached. And what happened, church? It says the Holy Spirit came upon them as it had come upon the circumcised believers, and Peter knew that God was there. The fruit was produced. Lives were saved. Love was shared. May we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, have the courage of Peter to seek the proof of our faith as we serve the world and share in God's glory forever. Amen.